Opening up your Bibles or apps and swiping over to Luke 22 or 21. Good morning, by the way. And if you didn't get a chance, there is outlines in your bulletins. Also, you can find them as a PDF online. And so you can also use that to take notes. At New Crossing, we like to be students of Jesus Christ, our rabbi, teacher. So he is more than just the one who saves us, but he trains us up in his truth and makes it powerful by his Holy Spirit. Amen. And so as way of just introduction again, we have been away for a month with other things God was doing in the church, and I said we would come back to this series Paradigm Shift, where there's this idea that there is so much more that needs to shift in our understanding, the way we live our lives, and that's what Jesus is doing in the Gospel of Luke. He is turning everything upside down of what the kingdom of God is about and what people imagined. He's turning everything upside down and who this Messiah, the Christ, would be. And I'm not going to go through all those things because we've been for a long time in a beautiful way coming to understand this. But certainly a shift is needed in how we relate to God. And overall, after it's 2 years, if all you go away is, I live my life not just for God or under his law. I live my life with Jesus Christ. You got something. And it should change the way you live. Let me begin with this. What is weighing down your heart these days? What is weighing on your heart? What is making it hard some days or some months or this whole year to endure? And I mean that seriously. And if there is something the Holy Spirit just kind of instantly raised up, hold on to that. There are certainly lots of things going on in our world that weighs us down and makes it hard to endure through troubles. And just weigh as background. The end of August, we are in Luke chapter 21, and we need to capture something here from the last message, which was called Enduring Through the Troubles, and it was verses 5 through 24, because Jesus is still speaking. We took a pause, but Jesus is still speaking what it means to endure through troubles. And we can't read those verses again, but I want us to capture quickly before we enter into this morning's sermon. Don't doze off, but pray earnestly. Jesus has taught us four things that are necessary for us to endure. And endurance really simply means the capacity to continue to bear up under difficult circumstances. Jesus is encouraging us in times of difficulty on how to endure through these times instead of compromise. And the key verse, and I do want to put this verse up front, this is sometimes, it's not always, but sometimes there's like a key verse in something Jesus is teaching. And this is one of those times in Luke chapter 21 in verse 19, where Jesus says, by your endurance, you will gain your lives. This is why endurance is so important. So the first four things we've seen to endure in is one, we endure with a longer perspective. If all you look at in the moment is what's going on, and you just focus what's in front of you in the present, you will not endure. We endure with a longer perspective because we know God is in control and our character is being transformed. So he went through all these things, the destructions of the temple. Jesus has entered into a real prophetic mode right now, and he is foretelling of the destruction of the temple and Jerusalem, but he's also foretelling of wars and things that, man, these tribulations that are going to come our way. And so when we know the end game, it helps us endure, right? And we also know in our moments of failure and weaknesses, he is changing our character. The second thing Jesus teaches us is we endure with a larger calling. Your calling is so much more than your family. Your calling is so much more than your careers. Though those things are precious and gifts from God, and they're holy. But we endure with a larger calling because Jesus gives us opportunity to share how awesome he is. That's our ultimate calling, is the harvest field and sharing the gospel that saves you for the long game. Thirdly, we endure with Christ's power because he is with us, all capitals, W-I-T-H. And we look, and you can go into this message and hear more depth of these things. We endure with Christ's power because he's with us and empowers us to accomplish everything on the Father's will, which means we pause and ask, Father, what's your will for me right now? Fourth, we endure with our brothers and sisters because of the encouragement and help we receive from them to persevere until Christ returns. And so we don't get isolated in these times of difficulties. We don't give in to the inner introvert and end up harming ourselves. So, riddle me this. What is the thing we need most? It's so simple that children can do it, but it's the hardest thing for us to do. What is the thing we need the most? Is the simplest thing that children can do it, but the hardest thing for us to do. Don't any of you ever watch Batman and know the Riddler? Prayer is what we need most. And so the fifth, in which is what we'll be focusing on this morning, is we endure with praying earnestly. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we come praying in Jesus' name. We come, Jesus, to hear your words this morning. All of the scriptures, you are the fulfillment of them all. They are inspired by your Spirit. And this morning you're speaking to us, and we ask, Holy Spirit, open up our understanding. Open up our hearts and minds. Lord, let us understand this thing about prayer that will help us endure. Jesus, my heart, so much goes out to these beloved ones, your sons and daughters, not just this church, all the churches, and not just the sheep, the shepherds, for I see such a trouble on many hearts, including my own. And Lord, we cannot endure by gritting our teeth. We cannot pull ourselves up spiritually by our bootstraps. We can only endure with you and through prayer. And so help us understand these things. In Jesus' name, amen. So we are going to read verses in the entirety of them, verses 25 through 38. And I feel kind of compelled to have us this time stand up for the reading. We don't do this often, but it is God's holy word. And so we are coming into the middle of what's called the Olivet Discourse. It's kind of like the Sermon on the Mount or plain, but this time each evening we will hear, he goes to the Olivet region, but comes back in the morning in Jerusalem in the temple to pray. He says this, "And there will be signs in sun and moon and stars, and on the earth, distress of nations and perplexity because of the roaring of the sea and the waves, people fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." And he told them a parable. "Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they come out in leaf, you see for yourselves and know that the summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all has taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life. And the day come upon you suddenly like a trap, for it will come upon all who dwell on the face of the whole earth. But stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place, and to stand before the Son of Man." And every day he was teaching in the temple, but at night he went out and lodged on the mount called Olivet. And early in the morning, all the people came to him in the temple to hear him. Amen. You may be seated. And applaud you. You're already successful this day spiritually. You've come to his church to hear these words he spoke. In this are two powerful imperatives from Jesus. An imperative is not a suggestion like this would probably be a good idea. This is like a command saying this is necessary. And the first one, these are the two points where we're going to look at this morning, is watch your heart. And we saw that, heard that in verse 34. And the second one is stay awake with earnest prayer, which is verse 36. And so we want to unpack these a little bit. And this is a large passage. There's a lot going on. And we could get off course as we talk about end time things. But we will not do that as long as I stay anchored to the things God has given me to share with you. So Jesus is foretelling the coming of the Son of Man. And he's already warned, prophesied about the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. And he's done that prophetically. And those things happened just 40 years, 70 AD. Now the interesting thing about prophecies in Old and New Testament, not always, but so often, when they're spoken, there isn't an immediate fulfillment, but they not yet, because it's spiritual to come, all right? And so these words apply to us as children of Abraham, according to the New Testament, when you put your faith in him. So we hold on to these things too and say, it's been done. It's past. I don't need to listen to these things. So are you here to listen? A couple. Are you here to hear God? And anything, Lord, that Craig says that's not of you, may it be forgotten quickly. So when he is speaking of all these things about the signs and the sun and the moon and the stars on earth and roaring of nations, but there's also distress of the nations and perplexity because of the roaring of the waves and the fainting of people and all these signs. This is where we could spend all morning, because some schools of thought are that they are literal, and you can certainly find things in the Old Testament where the sun stands still. In the New Testament, the sun goes dark. We have a sea divided, the Red Sea. And so you can say, okay, these are all literally true. But then you see all these same things used figuratively on the mouth of the prophets of the stars, and being nations. And you could say, for example, when it talks about nations are in perplexity because of the roaring of the sea and waves, who knows? With the melting, of the ice caps, and maybe, nations, maybe California really will have an earthquake and just disappear into the sea, literally. But it also could be figuratively, and I'm just giving an example. The roaring for I'm speaking as a surfer now. The roaring, a surfer knows the roaring of the sea in waves is a wave collapsing. A sea just sitting there doesn't make any sound, but when the collapsing, and that could be the collapsing of nations. Have we not even just seen that with the Taliban recently? And just Googling some stuff is fun. I guess, on your bucket list, there you can go to the 10 nations that no longer exist in the world, and they still have government system setups that aren't actually real, but you could go to these, countries, these nations that don't exist. And so we get this idea that everything's forever. Even America may not exist by the time Jesus returns. Oh, man, am I going to get emails for that, right? God's nation, the new Israel. And they will see, in verse 27, and in other words, this will be a visible, not a spiritual return. Well, it is spiritual because he's Jesus, but he will come visibly to us. And there's this, and here the contrast, which we'll talk about in verse 26, people are fainting with fear and foreboding, contrasted in verse 28, where Jesus says to those who put their faith in him, straighten up and raise your heads. And there's this idea of posture, confidence. So some are falling in fear and others are going, victory! The Son of Man has arrived. Amen. And when it speaks of redemption for those of you that are new in verse 28, your redemption is drawing near, is referring to the time when Jesus Christ returns. He has come once already, bringing the kingdom, and we have the kingdom now, but not yet. Here, there is so much in these words today that is true now, but not in the fullness. And redemption is when mortality will put on immortality, when our bodies of weakness are redeemed and raised up in power. 1 Corinthians 15, if there's enough time, maybe I'll share that. It's so fun. This is the redemption we all need. And I love when he says that his words will not pass away. So even though stars and galaxies and our earth will pass away, this is how certain these things are. And I love that those hearing this could not say, yeah. And you know what? Jerusalem the walls were torn down and the temple was destroyed. We already see that what he says will happen. So think about what that should do to your heart in the way of confidence. So then we come, and he tells a parable of the fig tree. And he's beginning to get to this place where he will say in verse 34, watch yourselves, look, guard your hearts, watch your hearts. And it is preceded by a parable about the fig tree and all trees. And he's saying, don't you even with your natural eyes, you're in the middle of winter, And you can see the buds and the leaves. And you know that summer's just about here. In Wisconsin, that's what I love about the four seasons we have in Wisconsin. Because, man, when there's just the buds, the first one's opening. Jewel's out there. Did you see it? Did you see it? I'm like, no, no. And she's got to drag me out in the backyard through the snow. And there's just one little bud about to open, or it's starting to open up, right? And it's like, it's exciting. And that's how Christians should feel about the coming of Jesus Christ and our redemption. It's like, yeah, things, it's like winter, and we're not even in the deepest part of winter yet. But we are in figuratively speaking, winter. And so it's like, yes, this is hard, it's cold, you know, and it's, and I can't wait for spring and summer. It will come. It's a promise on the lips of the Son of Man. Verse 34. But watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day come upon you suddenly like a trap. For it will come upon all who dwell on the face of the whole earth. In other words, it doesn't matter what nation, religion, what culture, race, we're all going to experience this. So ask yourself, in these days, and what is weighing on your heart? Is there sin that weighs on your heart? Because in these troubling times that we're experiencing in the world, at home, you know, we have to watch ourselves. Do you understand that? I love that the way ESV puts that. Maybe yours is be on your guard. But we have to watch ourselves. Sometimes we are watching everything but ourselves. And we're not asking the right questions. What are you experiencing right now in these times? What has been your attitude? Has there been some strong emotional reaction that caught you off guard on something? We need to pause and take a look at ourselves. It's so easy to watch everything else because of what's going on. Maybe we're watching too much the talking political heads and all the news of the troubles in the world. Maybe we don't want to have to look at our heart and watch ourselves, so we watch Paul Hollywood in the Great British Bake Off with a big bowl of popcorn. Right, Jill? That's okay. You know, maybe we're watching sports or watching for the deer to walk by. Nothing wrong with those things unless they're keeping us from watching ourselves. We need to be prepared and remain faithful, for when that day that the Son of Man comes and brings the fullness of his kingdom. And he says that we get weighed down with dissipation, that's kind of like partying, and drunkenness is obvious, and cares, that's also translated anxieties of the world. I like how the Message puts it. Be on your guard. Don't let the sharp edge of your expectation. What's the expectation? Return of Jesus Christ, your redemption. Be on your guard. Don't let the sharp edge of your expectation get dulled by parties and drinking and shopping. Ouch, that last one hurt. Thank you, Amazon. It's troubling, and I won't go through all the statistics, but the studies that we're seeing just in the month of June and coming into September, you know, 41% increase in mental or behavioral conditions. 31% of trauma and stressors, 26% have started increased in substance abuse. And actually, I just saw this week that when they looked at excessive drinking, they looked at the healthiest state was Utah at only 12%. Guess who was the least healthy state? You know, that's not something really to be proud of, people. Lord Jesus, help me. I'm among drunkards. It was tripled. But hey, it's not all bad, right? The silver lining is it came out in the Wisconsin State Journal September 8th that the alcohol sales tax collections have jumped up to the highest rate in 50 years. So at least the state's making some money on this. I can't believe this. But let me read something for you. And it's true, I mean, our hearts get weighed down with the cares, the anxieties of life. And then all of a sudden this trap comes. A trap is unexpected. And there's nothing you can do, you're powerless. But I want you to hear when it comes to those anxieties, and turn with me or look up here in Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. Were these used, Sarah, yesterday? Yeah, okay. It's kind of cool. I just heard that. So, no, that was 1 Peter. 1 Peter. Okay, yeah, 1 Peter was. So, but listen to these words. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, and we need that, those that men and women that are role models and heroes to show us what's possible in God, let us also lay aside every weight. There it is. Lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and then turns it into a metaphor, and let us run with endurance the race that is set us before us. And so we need to set aside these weights. I mean, carrying, you know, grabbing those 250-pound water cooler jugs, trying to run not just to the hall or car, a marathon. It's an endurance. This is not a sprint race. This is an endurance race that we're in. We've got to let those things go that weigh us down and trouble us. And then verse 2, looking to Jesus, our hero, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured. Did you notice this? Second, endurance. Endure the race. Jesus endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. So we have to run with endurance. We can't just coast, beloved. To complete this marathon, we keep our eyes on Jesus. We watch him. We take a look and watch ourselves and say, this is what's going on in my heart and my thoughts, my attitude. And then we watch Jesus and we bring those before him. Now, 1 Peter, which the women looked at in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. And we will again see that word anxiety or cares in this. Peter says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. And just to pause in that for a moment, to humble yourself means that with a heart that completely trusts God, you put yourself under his mighty hand. Your heart is surrendered to him. That's what it means to be humbled. Your heart trusts him. You trust the Father's will. You trust him through what's going on. you place yourself under his mighty hand so that he can protect you and provide for you. You cast your anxiety and cares upon him because he will be your strength. And then we hear in these words, and there's a why this is necessary. And then he says, like Jesus was saying in Luke 21, we hear Peter saying in verse 8, his disciples saying, be sober-minded. Don't get dulled spiritually. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Resist him. What is the devil? What did it just say? See? This is so important. He is not a lion. Jesus Christ is the Lion of Judah. He just roars like one to try and frighten you and get your eyes off Christ. So let me close this idea with watching and pray I can share this with you. So in Luke 21, two times Jesus is referred to by the name of the Son of Man. And we read in verse 26, people are fainting with fear and they're just caught up in the troubles of the world. And it says, and for the powers of the heavens will be shaken and they will see. So those who are fainting see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. So many years ago, when God put a call on Jill and I to go into a vocational pastoral ministry, you're all ministers in the places God's put you in family and careers. I was coming near the end of seminary in Illinois, where I was going to school, and grew up in California, as most of you know, unless you're visiting. And in my sister, Kenra, was there working as a supervisor in a hotel. And I get a call at 1 a.m. in the morning, which, and first of all, I didn't get a lot of calls from Kenra to start with. And she was freaked out. And it's like, what's up, Kenra? What's up? And she had a dream. And so Kenra and I grew up going to church, and we both, as kids, invited Jesus in our lives and got baptized. And Kenner did believe in God. She didn't know much about the Bible and things like that. And so when she started sharing this dream, I knew it was from God because she probably didn't even know that when Jesus returns, he will come, as it says even in Luke 21, and it says in the Old Testament, coming in a cloud with power and glory. And so in San Jose, the Bay Area is a valley. And she said, I had this dream and these clouds are descending into the valley. And there is something very frightening to me about it and disturbing. And she felt compelled to run and hide from it. And that's a picture of the day Jesus returns and there's judgment. And she said, Craig, I ran back into the hotel. I found one of the empty hotel rooms, and I closed the blinds and I hid. But she sensed a presence of someone on the other side of the blinds. It was Jesus, and he said to her, Kenra, decide. And so she knew what that meant. She had walked away from church. She still believed in God, and she was caught up and heart weighed down with things of the world and pursuing her own things. And so she asked what to do, and I just told her, Jesus is saying, seek me. Decide, is he going to be first in your life? Pray. Simply pray, start reading your Bible, and find a church where you can grow spiritually. That's it. And I said, But I got to warn you, do this immediately. Because I know the enemy in our hearts, and we think we're going to do this, but then we just get caught up in things, and the urgency of what Jesus just said will dissipate. And she had resolve and good intentions, but she never followed through. Next time I talked to her, "So, did you check out a church yet?" "No, but I'm going to." "You're praying?" "No, you know, just, I'm going to. And how often are we like that? But let me just say this. Her heart was weighed down with life. The devil devoured her. And she's gone. So these words take with weight, for they will help what is heavy on your heart. And I can't leave myself there, so let me say just Proverbs. And I want you to, you know, Proverbs says, 4:23, keep your heart with vigilance. In other words, watch your heart. Or maybe it's above all else, guard your heart. So there's that word again. From it flows the springs of life. And 1 Peter, remember, casting all your anxieties for him because he cares for you. So just close your eyes for a second and ask, what is weighing down your heart these days? What is necessary for you to cast your anxieties on God and trust him? What is necessary to do this? Jesus' second imperative in verse 36. So first he's saying, watch your hearts. And now he says, stay awake praying. Stay awake at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. And that word prayer, as we learned last Sunday, it's not just ask, it's not just talk, it's pray earnestly. This particular word for prayer is this idea of praying with deep and sincere feeling. In the Greek, it means with urgency. It's the same words on men and women that are begging the Lord for help and pleading. It's also translated beg to plead. And he's saying, stay awake at all times. You see, this kind of prayer will enable us to escape all these things it says. We can escape all these things that would come against us, that would harm us. And so we do not lose our heart, and we escape them. And we are there to stand with confidence and victory. I said in the vision message last week that the two things the Lord is putting us to look at and focus on is prayer and the harvest. It is so important. Pray earnestly. So I want to give you a metaphor. I want to tell you, and this will surprise you, but prayer is like football. Those of you visiting are going, why are they laughing? Because they're wondering who I am, and they're asking, what did you do with my pastor who knows nothing about sports? And don't worry, I will not raise your low opinion of me and my understanding of sports. You are not in danger of that. So in California, when I was working as an engineer, and in California, and I got to give you a little background to this football story. So, and by the way, I even was on the company baseball team. Stop laughing. But they said keep your daytime job. So, but I was, but I was super healthy. You know, there was this. There was a group of us engineers, and we're all in our 20s and early 30s, and I was, to boast, in good shape. I was cycling. There isn't anybody that could reach the top of a mountain cycling faster than I could. I was surfing. I was backpacking. And so I just want to give you a picture. I was a specimen of great health. Really? Is it that? Have I changed that much? This is painful. Now I'm going to have to go home and take a look at my heart and see what I need to do with all this laughter at me. So anyway, there was a call to play some football. It was going to rain that Saturday, and it's like, yeah, we do this. You know, it's like in the movies. You know, it's going to be mud football. You know, no flags, and so we go and we play this football game, and we're slugging it out, and it's a lot of fun. And so, you know, you need to understand, I was in great health, you know, and I could. I would cycle 100 miles, you know, just no big deal kind of stuff. We're playing football, you know, and, you know, it's crouched down, and you got the plays and the runs, and the teams are scoring, and it's just a lot of fun, even for a guy that doesn't know, you know, one, you know, just doesn't know football. So then there's just, like in the movies, it's near the end of the game. They give me a running pattern, squat down and run, you know, and we're all getting kind of tired now, but I run, I do my pattern, catch the football. And I got 3 steps on this guy, and it's not quite a half a field to the goal, but this is like gonna be glory, man. And I'm running, I start slowing down. It's like there is nothing left in my legs. And the guy's catching, and it's like, this was going to be my one sport moment of glory, right? And he gets to me, and I just feel a touch on my hand. He doesn't even tackle me. And I just fall over in the mud, like just yards from the goal. Do you understand what I'm saying about prayer? Prayer is a spiritual muscle. And you could be spiritually have other muscles, that you go to church, you're using your spiritual gifts, you read your Bible, and you got all that muscle. Jesus is saying, you will not cross that goal line if you don't exercise some prayer muscle. I could hardly walk the next day. Actually, that was Monday. I was just glad I had 2 days to recover and still could hardly walk on Monday. I had no idea about these different muscles. And so we need to form new habits. And so let me read in Jude 20 and verses 21. No, I'm not reading 2 chapters. Jude is only 1 chapter, 1 book. But listen to this about prayer in Jude 20, verses 20 through 21. But you, beloved, building yourself up. And I don't normally do this. What did he just say? Everybody, build yourself up. Get into the exercise program. Build yourself up. In other words, you're adding spiritual strength in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit. You see, your prayers are more than just spoken words. They are spiritual and powerful. So he says, build yourself up, praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourself in the love of God. How important is that? Build yourself up, praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourself in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life, that day of redemption. You are redeemed now because of your faith in Christ, but there is a now and a not yet, even in redemption to come. Let me just say some things simply when it comes to prayer. I want it to be, we are going to be looking at prayer, but what's interesting in Jesus, he didn't lay out all the different kinds of prayer, intercession for others, warfare, prayers, healing, prayer. He was focused at this point as we need to be at the beginning of a new church season to pray that I may have the strength to escape. It's important to start in that place. And so if you go home, like I did on that Saturday playing football, saying, I got this, and you go home, and you're going, I'm going to pray a half hour every day. Man, you will not be walking on Monday. And what will happen is it will be discouraging, unfun, and it won't find it satisfying because you will have spent the half hour thinking about the news shows and Paul Hollywood and all the to-do list, and you'll feel like a failure. So like exercising in the health club, and last week I unfortunately bumped into the manager of the health club there. I have a membership, and he hasn't seen me for 2 years, and he's like, his first thing is, how's your health? Yeah, I laugh too. And so anyone that works out with weights, which I have since I was 18 until recently, you start small because it's just going to, if you create, anyway, take 3 minutes and do three things. Let's just start simple. Praise, petition, presence. Pray, petition, presence. Say it with me. Praise, petition, presence. Praise, petition, presence. Meaning, first of all, and we've been working on our GQ. No, not that one. The gratitude quotient. And we've been working on starting off with giving continual thanks to God, even in difficult circumstances. One thing. Thank God for one thing. Take the biggest need and petition God tenaciously. We learned in Luke, Jesus taught us about tenacious prayers. And then when you've already run out of things to pray with, and you've still got 2 minutes of your three, sit and enjoy the presence of God. He loves, that's his favorite part. Did we not read in Jude, keep yourself in the love of God, keep yourself in his presence. Be successful at that. The men's weekend, 2 weekends ago, we learned about forming new habits. And I told this manager at the health club, I said, I got a new habit, and it's not going to the health club, and I need to start a new one after all the craziness. We learned in good habits, which Javier taught us, come in small steps, and law one, make it obvious. Not just some vague, I'm going to be a great prayer warrior. I'm going to pray 3 minutes each day this week. That's measurable. That's what it means by make it obvious. Law two, make it attractive. This would be kind of fun. I could do three. Law three, make it easy. That was the 3 minutes part. And I gave you three P's. Just made them up this morning because I think it would help you do this. And law four, make it satisfying. So make it obvious, make it attractive, make it easy, make it satisfying. And you will want to do more of it. I even, during this pandemic, saw Sylvester Stallone, who's a total workout guy, offer some different exercises. He goes, make it fun, because if you hate it the first time, you won't be back. So are you willing to build up some spiritual prayer muscles? Bow your heads. Two times Jesus refers to himself as the Son of Man. It's one of his favorite ways of describing himself. And if you were to look at just in Luke who the Son of Man is, it's his favorite way of self-designation and indicating who he truly is in character. So in that game of football, and it's a game of life and death spiritually, when I look up here real quick, I'm going to mess with your head a little bit, but I didn't make it across the goal line. But I got to tell you, I've been working on this myself. And I want every one of you to cross that goal line with that football. And you know, you got to that victory dance. Yeah, boom, right? So there, you just saw your pastor do a victory dance. Now bow your heads again. That's what I want for, and Jesus wants for every one of you. And so in a prayerful mode, take that thing that you said is weighing on your heart, and let me tell you about your quarterback of this team. Because Satan is trying to mess and recruit people like Judas onto his team. He's trying to take out people like Peter, which we'll hear in the next chapter of Luke. But you are sons and daughters on his team, and you will cross that goal line because you may feel like, I don't know if I can get there. But let me tell you, in Luke chapter 5, the Son of Man, it says, is the humble servant who has come to forgive common sinners. In Luke chapter 6, it says, the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath, who is head over the church and has final authority to decide what is truly holy. And he's decided you are holy. In Luke chapter 7, it says, the Son of Man is the unexpected friend to outsiders and sinners. Does that sound like good news to you? In Luke 9, it says, the Son of Man is the suffering servant who will willingly go through rejection and crucifixion so that his death and resurrection on the third day will redeem your life. Amen. In Luke chapter 19, it doesn't use the word shepherd, but it refers to it, and we see it in the other Gospels, but it does say this. This shepherd, he came to seek and save the lost. He will not lose you, people. Luke 21, the Son of Man is the glorious King and Judge who will return in power to establish God's righteous kingdom on earth. He'll turn everything right. And lastly, Luke 21 also, it says, the Son of Man is the Redeemer. So, Father in heaven, look at the things that are weighing upon their hearts. Take that yoke off them. I pray, Jesus, help them to watch themselves before they watch other things. Lord, there is no one exempt from this desire to party, to drink, to get lost in our anxieties. Would you take those? We're praying those into your hands to carry what we cannot. Let us not be afraid to look at ourselves and be asking those tough questions. Why am I experiencing what am I experiencing? Why do I feel what I'm feeling? Why am I doing what I'm doing and thinking what am I thinking? I know it's not holy, and you've declared me holy. And I pray on everyone's lips that we will pray, that we pray, that we will pray, that we will pray, and we begin to take, and if we've been praying 3 minutes, turn it into 5. And if it's been 5, turn it into 10. And let spouses begin this prayer, building up the prayer muscles together. And let the singles get together and pray, or seek out couples to pray with. I ask that this church and all your people in the churches grow their prayer muscles. And Lord, help us bring the good news that you are coming again. It should not frighten us into rooms with closed curtains. But let us stand up. Give victory chance with those that we've invited to join us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.